Father, we thank you again that you've allowed us to come together. And Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, we know that any man can open the book, but only you can open it to the man. And Father, may you do it to each one tonight. Help us, Lord, to climb up a little closer. Lord, as we think about, you said Adam could climb up inside the tower anytime he wanted. And Lord, we know that that's for your children today too. And Father, may you teach us, Lord, to lay down the things of this life. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I was thinking this afternoon about that scripture I had already mentioned about what Brother Branham said about, he asked the question, he said, I wonder if we're sufficiently impressed with the word that we've been given. And I got to thinking about that, and for some reason I started thinking about these birds I saw one time that was the way the bird got a mate, he'd come out and he'd done this elaborate dance for the female. And the female would sit there and watch him do his dance. And when he got done, she would, if she was going to accept him as a mate, she did it immediately. She got up, did whatever dance was the acceptance dance back, and they went and mated. And that was it. And if she wasn't going to accept him, she just turned her head. And that was the end of it. And I thought about that. You know, what if that little bird, whatever she sees in that male, God decided that those two would mate. And I thought, what about his children? And when he shows us his word, are we sufficiently impressed, or do we just turn our heads? Yeah. And so I got to looking at the message, and this whole series has been on oneness. And I got to looking at all the different ways that Brother Branham talked about oneness. He talked about unleavened bread. That means you don't add nothing to it. It's the old flat bread. It don't rise. It's just unleavened. You don't add anything to it at all. You think about that oneness. It's one thing. We're on one thing. And then he used the term the North Star. We're pointed at the North Star. There's, and they'll teach you in school, there's between any two points is a straight line. It's not a crooked one or a wavy one or something like that. If you're pointed at the North Star, it's a straight line to the North Star. There's no variation. You don't get off, go this way or that way. You're always headed to the North Star. And then he used words like the ultimate. The ultimate means there's nothing else. Nothing else. And he used words like the absolute. The absolute means that nothing else is considered. Amen. Nothing even considered. Nothing else is considered but his word. He used words like preeminence. So many times he used preeminence. And we know what preeminence means. That you give God everything. Just like that mate, that bird, when she decided he was her mate, she got right up and went to him. There was no hesitation. And she gave herself to him, and that was it. And I wonder sometimes if we're impressed enough. And then he calls himself the head. And no body has any head, any but one head. There's only one head on a body, and it directs everything. He used words like dead to self and surrendered. And it goes on and on and on. I mean, there's so many different ways he used it. But I wondered, you know, we've heard so many times that you can't be one word off. And a lot of times people want to reckon that is that if you don't understand this exactly like this, 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 and this, then you're one word off. When Brother Branham said it wasn't an intellectual understanding, that the word is living. That don't mean we have a right to turn down some of the word. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, what does it mean to us? Are we sufficiently impressed that it's God? Are we still wondering somewhere? Are we still hedging somewhere? Have we not laid it down? Because Brother Branham is going to talk about tonight God creating a craving in you. Do we ignore the craving? Or do we feed the craving? Do we search out that craving and want to know more about that craving? Do we wonder why we're craving? Or do we know why we're craving? Yeah. And so that's just been on my heart. And I think this is the hour, brother and sister. Brother Branham said in so many ways that the bride is to be one with Christ. And she is to do. There's no difference, Brother Ram said. So let's just go and look at some of the things Brother Ram talked about around these ideas and thoughts. Now, Moses had an experience. Now, the way we're going to know God is that God makes himself manifest in this day. We know that. And we've heard it so many different ways. Moses went down in the country and began to tell the people, I'm the pillar of fire. It was a burning bush. And he told me to tell you, I am that I am. Go down, I'll be with you. Take up the stick in your hand. And here's a man that says God sent him, is going down telling the people that. And some of them were not quite listening. And one priest, he said, probably said, oh, it's nonsense. But then they seen the real facts. So then what he said he was, God began to vindicate what he was. But when they seen the real facts of this come to pass, they couldn't hold it any longer. See, they couldn't hold back any longer. Now they had to go for this, had to go towards this. They knowed he was sent of God. When God began to vindicate his word, they knew it. And they couldn't hold back any longer. Then Moses said, if he saw that and testified to it be the truth, then God is obligated, if that is the truth, to identify and vindicate the man's word, the truth. That's true. And he did. And if Jesus stood there and read that day, that this day this word is fulfilled before you, God is obligated to make that word come to pass. We stand here tonight and say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we believe that, if we believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he is obligated to vindicate that in our life. There's no question about it. He is obligated to do it. We all know what obligated means, right? He has to do it. He feels bound to his word. Now, what Brother Branham says here, now what does it do? It takes faith in believing it. And where did we learn this last time the faith come from? Come from that relationship, that love affair between you and God. That's where faith comes from. Brother Branham said, love brings faith. Until you have that union, that's why Brother Branham said, then until you're born again, you cannot understand this word. But after you're born again, you're in love with God. And all of a sudden, this one you're in love with starts to make sense and starts to become real to you. Until then, we're just beating our gums together and playing a game. I don't care how close up you come to it, until you cross over and you're born again, You have nothing.
That's right.
You may be getting real close, but if you're not crossed over, then God has not accepted your sacrifice. There's something wrong. Believe me, brother and sister, I've been there. And I know everybody that's born again has been there. They know. And it takes faith. And faith, we found out, came from that relationship. Takes faith in believing his word that it is the truth. Amen? It is the truth. I remember, Brother Brown, these past few weeks, I used to think about what Brother Branham said when they asked him about, and I might have done told y'all this. He said whenever they asked him when his wife and all died, did he keep his religion? And he said, no, my religion kept me. And I understood what that meant these past few weeks. that God keeps you, because it doesn't matter how much turmoil the flesh goes through, that anchor still holds. It doesn't move. God is real, brother and sister. He's real. And you might have to wait 20 years. You might have to flounder around for a long time. But if you're a seed, you're going to cross over.
That's right.
Sometime. So don't wait. But don't wait. There ain't nothing in this world, brother and sister. There's nothing in this world tying us to it. Brother Branham said it's all a shadow. Every bit of it is a shadow compared. Can think of that. Think of how our shadow looks to our body. How different that is. And that's what Brother Branham says. And it's way beyond that. He promised that these things. All right, this is proving his word. Paragraph 235. Now we say he's raised from the dead. I didn't say it. The word here said it. They said he raised from the dead. He says he's the same yesterday, today, forever. And you believe it? He promised these things to happen in the last day, that the same Son of Man will be manifest. The same Son of Man. Not the same flesh. The same Son of Man. Now remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there. Now why would he point that out, brother and sister? Why would he point that out? Amen. The same Son of Man will be made manifest. Now people are going, you know, does he think he's Jesus? Or, you know, all these people doing all this talking. Then he stops and he says, now remember, that wasn't Jesus talking to Abraham back there. Talking about the Son of Man. That was not Jesus. He'd not been born. But it was a man in human flesh. That Abraham called Elohim the Great Almighty. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom. Now, watch close. In the days of Sodom, it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man is being revealed. Not no more a church. Amen. See? Not no more. The bride is called. Not no more a church with part of the word. It's the bride that's called. See? In that day, the Son of Man will be revealed. What? You join the church to the head. To join the church to the head, unite the marriage of the bride. The Son of Man is revealed to do that. That's what it's revealed for. And what is the Son of Man? God expressed in flesh. So God expressed in flesh is done. That's done to join the church to the head. Why is that going to join us to the head? Think about it for just a minute. Now, I might not get all these pages done, but I'm just going to stop and talk as I go. But you think about it. Why would you seeing God manifest in a man join you to the head yourself? Why would it? Brother Branham said that the mystery of the Godhead, I mean, he went on and on and on talking about the Godhead. But the point of what I'm trying to say is that, well, I lost my thought. I'm sorry. Let me see if I can get it back real quick. Brother Branham said that when Jesus came on the scene, he was the Old and New Testament manifested. The New Testament hadn't even been written yet. But there was the fullness of the Bible. Amen. Walking around in front of us. It was a revelation. That was the coming. The coming looked like God walking around in flesh. And there was nothing about him that God couldn't give him to do, and he did it. He didn't hesitate at all. As we mentioned the first night we started here, about Brother Ram talking about Jesus being like a building with the door open on both ends. And said God could just move in one end, not the other. It was no resistance whatsoever. He just did whatever he wanted in Jesus. We're going to read something like that this morning, here in a minute. But every time you read what he says that he done in Jesus, he says that the same ministry is in the bride.
That's right.
It can't not be. If it's the same spirit, it has to be the same thing. And what we saw was that happening in the prophet's life. We saw him come down to that place to where God could do anything he wanted to in him. We saw it starting to break there. But before the seals ever opened, we saw him starting to break open there and so showing how he could call life back that was dead. He could control the weather and the storms. He could give salvation to, boy, he did all those things that were, the Brother Bram said, the third pull leading up to that. God showing himself and what he was doing in man. Showing, he's revealing what he wants to do in man. And he done it back there, and he still, and he was doing it then. And that, Brother Branham said, is the word. Brother Branham said, the prophet is the word for the day. And if he is the word for the day, we can see him. Brother Branham said, Paul preached in power and demonstration. He was the word right there taking place in front of people. And I just think that's so incredible that Brother Branham talked about, or the Bible talks about, Paul was preaching one night and been preaching so long, somebody fell out of the window. He just walked around, laid his body on him, and he raised up and he went back and started preaching again. Brother and sister, if that ain't turned loose from this world, I don't know what is. Brother Bram said the quickening power back then is the same quickening power that we have now. The difference is the word, the seals are open and what it's quickening into being. That was God back there, quickening what he could quicken through those brothers. Brother Bram talked about the prophets. You know, we'll get to that quote here in just a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. The bridegroom's call will come right through this. Will come right through this Son of Man being revealed. That's what the bridegroom call is. It's coming through this man. And Brother Bram said there is one messenger to the age, and every other preacher after that doesn't have a message other than that message. That's it. That is their message, what he said, and that's it. They don't have their own message. They don't have another revelation. If they have a revelation, it's that one, amen. And they're spreading that one all amen. Over, and that's right. It. There's no other way of looking at it. Brother Bram, I don't have that quote tonight, but if you want it, I'll get it for you. So the bridegroom call will come right through this, when the Son of Man will come down, come in human flesh to unite the two together. He's coming to unite the two together. But only those who catch what God's doing there. The church has to be the word. He is the word, and the two unites together. And to do that, in order to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. And brother, sister, we saw that. So if God is doing that, what does he want to do? He wants to unite the two together. There's no question about it. And if he wants to unite the two together, what? How do we feel about it? Do we feel like we're the one that or we're one of those that we want to unite to him? Or are we dragging our feet and thinking about everything else? Brother Bram said people want to spend 5 minutes in prayer and wonder why their life is a mess. And you know what he said? He said you can't pray too much. What does that tell you? I'm not going to tell you what it tells you. It tells me that if I can't pray too much, I need to pray more.
Amen.
See, it's the Son of Man. Or he says, revealing the Son of Man, not a clergyman. Do you see what I mean? See, it's Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will come down in human flesh among us and will make his word so real that it will unite the church. He'll make his word so real and that in his people, they will see it. And it will unite the church in him as one, the bride. And what did we read this last time that Jesus prayed that prayer? That they may be one as you and I are one. And here it is taking place when the Son of Man revealed, God's telling you, this is what I want to do. I want to answer this prayer of Jesus. And brother, I want to be that too. Amen. He's already united, see. We go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. fill your flesh, self, of all the flesh of mighty men, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. But the rapture is going to the wedding supper. When the word here, what is the rapture? Going to the wedding supper. When the word here unites with the person, and they two become one. That's the rapture. Amen. That's why we believe that the rapture is the new birth of this day. That and about 100 other places. And then what does it do then? When those two become one, it manifests the Son of Man again. Not the church theologians, the Son of Man. The Word and the church becomes one. Whatever the Son of Man done, he was the Word. The church does the same thing. Amen. So let's go to recognizing your day and its message. Like Israel back in her promised land, she don't know how she got back there. She was just automatically put there. See? Why? The national force put her in place. Put her in place. Put her in her place. Sorry. Now I'm going to say something. National force put Israel in her homeland. National force will put the church in the World Council of Churches. But the power of God will put his people in the bride. And how we saw that power of God, we just talked about it, when it becomes one. The Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, my Word is Spirit and life, will put the bride in her place. Now he's saying the same thing he just said a while ago. He's just saying it a different way. She'll recognize her position in the Word. Then she's in Christ, will put her in her place. No national force will do it, but the national force will drive Israel to her homeland, and national forces of the Council of Churches will drive every organization into it. But the power of God will raise the bride into glory out of it. Amen. Spiritual food in due season. Paragraph 3. Now, I know many of you are standing again tonight, and outside met groups that said they couldn't get in, and they're listening in the radio in the cars, and we know we're trying to... I meant to cut that one out, so let's skip to paragraph 4. I want you to get built up now in the holy oracles of God, in the faith of this hour. And what did Brother Branham say was going to happen? We were going to unite, and what did Brother Branham say in the other messages that I've been on? Is that faith comes from that love, that uniting there. And listen to what he says about this faith. The faith is not a faith, it's the faith. It's going to take more faith than ever was in any age. Do you get that? For this has to be rapturing faith. To be taken up. This is a total change, brother. Sister, this ain't a church age where you're taking that age, the word for that age, until some more comes and then some more comes. This is it. Amen. This is the word creating the fullness in the body, in the bride. For this has to be rapturing faith, be taken up. And so we want you to believe tonight in all that you have seen, heard, the word that you have heard preached, the signs and the wonders that you have seen done. We want you to accumulate all that together in your heart and consider whether it that be God or not. Because if you don't believe that's God, you're never going to move any closer to him. As like Elijah of old said, if God be God, then serve him. And if Jesus is the center of all things to the Christian, there he goes, that word. If Jesus is the center of all things to the Christian. And what did we say? That all your life comes from that union. After you've been born again, Brother Abraham said, love brings faith. So everything you ever have to have, every direction you need to take, every obstacle you come up against is right there in that union. And when you come together with God, you're loving Him and He's loving you, that agapo love, that's where it comes from. He just puts what He wants. Because what is He expressing? He's expressing Himself. And He can't do it unless you let Him. And when you've given Him yourself, then He can begin to flow through you like He flowed through Jesus and do right what He wants, anything He wants. What does it say? We say those things and we kind of step back and say, that's a lot, Chris. That's a whole lot. But we also turn around and we say this. The bride can't be deceived. She can't receive one thing that's wrong. And that's a spiritual thing, brother and sister. That's not necessarily an intellectual thing. It's a spiritual thing. You can't be spiritually pulled away from the truth. You can't be spiritually pulled away from God. We believe that. But what about the opposite? If we can't be stirred away from God, it's impossible to deceive the elect. We believe that, right? Well, then, if it's impossible to deceive the elect, why did Brother Branham say it was impossible to deceive the elect? He said, once the Spirit of God is in you, he said, how can that woman with the Spirit of God go out here and cut her hair off and put a pair of shorts on? Because the Spirit of God would not let her do it. So if the Spirit of God is not going to let her do something that's wrong, then it's going to let her know what is right. Because it's the same thing. Everything that's wrong, you know it. And the scripture says, if the bride will have thus saith the Lord, or she'll be quiet. Brother, that sounds like freedom to me, brother. That sounds like absolute freedom from this world. Nothing ties you down. You, Brother Branham said, a Christian is walking by himself with God. He said when a Christian is walking with God, that he is so far out there that the people don't understand this person. They don't. Because it's God. They didn't understand Jesus. They don't understand any Christian. They didn't understand the prophet. They said everything in the world about him. They didn't understand them sisters that had them long dresses on and dressed so holy back there. They didn't understand them, but it was God taking place. Jesus is the center of all things to the Christian. And when I think we ought to let loose of everything else and cleave to Him. Now, is that a suggestion? It's not a suggestion. If He's your mate, you run to it with everything that's in you. I sometimes think that maybe we should pray that we're sufficiently impressed, which is the same thing Brother Branham said you should pray for more than anything is revelation. Remember, He is the center. He is the North Star. He is the ultimate. He is the absolute. And if He's the North Star, there's only one thing that'll point to the North Star. That's your compass that you're sailing with. If you got a compass, if you got the Holy Spirit, it's pointing to the North Star. It won't point you nowhere else. Anybody's ever messed with a compass? You can take it and hold it like this. And whichever way north is, I think it's that way. If you can hold it like that, then you can turn it just as quick as you want, and it's still pointed that way. You're not going to throw it off. And Brother Branham's comparing a son and daughter of God to this, to that. A compass that I'm trying you to sail with is the Word. And the Word always points to Him. And if the bride can't be deceived, then we're always pointed at Him. We need to have faith in those statements. We're always pointed to Him. We need to be trusting Him that we're always pointed to Him. No matter what happens. No matter who says what. No matter nothing. Nothing matters but that one thing. That you and God are walking alone. Amen. That don't mean you don't have to listen to the Word when somebody says something. Don't even think I'm trying to say something like that. God, Brother Branham said, God has a ministry in every one of us. If you don't believe that, I got the quote.
Amen.
There's more than one quote. Brother Bram said, every one of us has a ministry.
That's true.
Brother Bram said, the mothers are the backbone of this nation.
Amen.
And that's why we got such a mess. We still got a few good mothers that are backbone to good families, but this world is a mess because it's full of daycares and everything else. There ain't no mother anymore. And the mother's got to have a career and everything else, but not be a mother. All right. And we feel like it's that we're going through a great time of distress and trials and perplexity of time and distress between the nations and all the things happening. And sometimes I get engulfed, like everywhere I look, it's like in a ship out on the sea. And I've been given charge of the boat. And how are we going to make it? And here comes one with a white cap, 100 times bigger than my ship. But we'll crest them, every one. We are more than victors through him. We have to believe that. The capital, and when I say we have to, I'm not putting a list of to-dos on your list. This is for God to do. What you have to do is look to him to do these things. We can't call him the victor and then us try to be the victor. Us try to do something. He's the victor. He's the captain, the chief captain. Has got a hold of the string on the end of the ship. He'll pull it through. We'll crest every one of them. Okay, the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is in the Church Ages book. Now you can see that you can't base interpretation upon a student's profound knowledge of the language the Bible's written in. So they were arguing about if they got it written it this way, they could all understand it. And Brother Bram's trying to tell them that's a bunch of nonsense. It's not an intellectual understanding. But if you still can't see that because you're veiled in your mind by tradition, then here's one last illustration. I'm going to try to take that veil off. No one can doubt but what the scribes and Pharisees and the great scholars of year 33 A.D. knew the exact laws of grammar, exact meanings of the words in which the Old Testament was written, but for all their superb knowledge, they missed the revelation of God's promise, word, manifested in the Son. He was right there in front of them, and they missed him. When he was set forth, there he was, set forth from Genesis to Malachi. Jesus, the Messiah, was set out from Genesis to Malachi, and they still missed him, even though they knew the whole Bible. The whole chapters devoted to him and ministry, and yet, except for a few who were illuminated by the Spirit, they missed him entirely. They didn't none get close. They missed him entirely. We now come to a conclusion, such conclusion as we have already found in the Word. As much as we believe in trying to find the oldest and best manuscripts and get to the best record of the Word possible, we will never get the true meaning of it by study and comparison of Scriptures, sincere as we may be. Did you hear what he said? Do we believe what he said?
Amen.
Now that doesn't mean we don't read the Scripture. The Scripture, the Brother Bram and the Scripture says, study it. You're supposed to. But that's not how you're going to get it. Sincere as we may be, it will take a revelation from God to bring it out. Everything, brother and sister, is a revelation because this is God expressing himself. That is exactly what Paul said. Which things we also speak, not in words with man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. The true revelation is God interpreting his own word by vindicating what is promised. And I always go back to that, and I can give y'all the scripture for this one too, or the quote, where Brother Bram said that those Pharisees and Sadducees could say all they wanted to how Jesus was going to come until Jesus came. Because see, God had not interpreted his word yet. But when he interpreted his word, they came against it. Mm-hmm. There it was right in front of them. And the prophet was interpreted in front of us. And if we misinterpret what he was, then we miss it. The true revelation, Brother Brown said, is God interpreting his own word by vindicating what is promised. By God doing it. God will vindicate. Jesus said, I don't do the works. Father does the works. Now don't let anyone mislead by what I have said and think that I do not believe in the accuracy of the word as we now have it. I believe this word of the Bible is accurate. Jesus completely authenticated the Old Testament when here on earth, and it was compiled exactly as was our New Testament. So he just got through saying that the true revelation is when he vindicates the promise, when he brings that promise to pass. Then he went down and he said, Jesus completely authenticated the Old Testament. He proved it by his life. Make no mistake about it, we have the infallible word of God today, and no man dares take from it or add to it. But we need the same Spirit that gave it to teach it to us. What did we say the other day? That a man with the Holy Ghost who takes the word into himself and speaks it is deity speaking, right? So I'm not against men preaching. I'm standing up here preaching. So that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about us not just saying, You can't believe it because I told it to you. If you don't go home and find the truth that we've just talked about, if that truth don't become real to you, then you're just saying, You're just saying, I think it's right because Chris thinks it's right. Or I think it's right because Brother Don says it's right. Or this or other. You can't do that. It doesn't mean wives don't follow their husband and laity don't follow the pastor. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is that God is coming to individuals. And he's never, Brother Bram said, he's always done that. For the Gentiles, he always comes to the individual. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need a new translation. Though some are very good. I'm not against them. But we need the revelation of the Spirit. And thank God we can have what we need. For God wants to reveal his word to us by his Spirit. So he's standing ready. Are we sufficiently impressed? May God begin by his Spirit to give us continuous life-giving, prevailing revelation. Oh, if the church could only get a fresh revelation and become by the fresh revelation, the living word manifested. We would do the works, greater works, and glorify God, our Father in heaven. But I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, if no miracle ever happens in my life, the one miracle of becoming one with God is the only one I'm interested in. If he wants to do anything after that, that's up to him. I'm only interested in the one. I can't think of anything better in this life than to be one with God. Think about that. God is your head. There's nothing better than that. Okay, so Christ is revealed in his own word. Now, the next thing happens is when it's all gathered up in one person, Jesus Christ, bride and body, at the physical return of the Lord Jesus, making his three times. When he was brought to earth, killed, crucified, raised up, manifesting himself in the form of his body, which is his bride, the woman. You get it? She's part of his body. And the woman and the man is just so close together till they're just almost, they are the same. They ought to be anyhow. There they are, see? They're just exactly manifested the same. She's part of him because she was taken out from him. And the bride today is taken, the bride today, don't miss that. The bride today is taken out from the body of Christ, which is acting and doing just exactly like he said it would do for this day. The bride, the queen, king and queen. All right? It's getting late. Let's hurry, he says. Things that are to be. Paragraph 76. Now think how that God, we should behave ourselves and act like Christians. Our conduct should be like Christians because we're aliens here. This is not our home. No, we're just put here temporarily. Do we believe that? Sometimes I wonder if we believe that. I'm talking about me, okay? Because the only one I know about is me. I don't know about anybody else in here. We've got to go, every one of us, tonight. Now think, if God in his mercy has the mother before that little baby is born, is craving for some vitamins, if God created that so that that baby would crave for those vitamins, and the mother's word speaks forth, daddy, I want cantaloupe or watermelon, so the baby's growing, the mom's pregnant, so she's craving something. God made that so that the baby could get what it wanted. Now he's talking about the mercy of God creating a craving in the mother so that the baby gets what it needs. That's a beautiful picture. I want cantaloupe or watermelon. I want something or another. Why? He'll do everything he can, dad, to get that because he knows that he wants his child born as perfect as it can be. He'll do everything he's able to do to get it. Now, how much more able is he to get it? He's our creator. Now, think how able he is to prepare us a body to live like his own glorious body. If we want to live, there's something in us calls to live. Not live this life. If all the craving we got in this world is to live this life, then something's wrong. We want to live that life. We want to see his word done. There is something in us that calls to do right. Who did that? Who put that in us? Then God will call somebody on the platform or the pulpit that will preach the absolute truth. Why? See, it shows you then if you're a real child of God, you begin to cry out, God, take it away from me. Circumcise me from this, whatever it is, whatever you might be holding on to. Take these things away from me. Why? Why are you crying out like that? It's needed for your heavenly home you're going to, where he's gone to prepare you. You got to be a real word bride of Christ. So he's creating these cravings in you so that you'll call out to him and he'll fulfill your needs. What do we say? That love affair. You know he loved you. You know he's done all these things for you. He's taking you out of this. He's taking you away from that. And he brings you to a place where there's something else. And he wants to take you out of that. And he creates a craving in you to come out of that, to come away from that. And so then he's got what you need to take care of it. Well, I belong to the church. They don't make one thing different. You got to be in Christ. A certain denominational minister the other night said to me, said, Brother Branham, look here. Jesus said, whosoever believeth. The Bible said, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is born of the Spirit of God. And that's exactly what it says, right? He's not changing it. That's exactly what he says. But Brother Ram knows what he's trying to say. He's not just quoting the word. He's trying to insinuate something. I said, don't the Bible also say that no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Spirit? So in other words, we'll take what you said there in the Bible because it's the truth, but put this in it too. Whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus, whoever believes by the Holy Spirit on the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, is born of the Spirit of God. You can't make the Bible lie. It's got a hook right in. So you have to become absolutely born again of the Holy Spirit in you that witness out yourself. You know that he is the Son of God. And then if you are in a part, if you are a child of God, the Word of God, how can you deny the Word? You can't. And what we just said, you can't deny it, nor can you do something wrong by it. How can the Holy Spirit make you believe a creed that you have to do something like this when the Bible said something else? We want to join a church. We have to join a church and do this and do that. And when the Bible plainly tells you what to do, see? And then when you see that and you jump right into it, you're right with it then, see? So in other words, when God shows it to you, the Holy Spirit shows it to you, you jump right in, you're right with it. Just keep moving right on and it grows. It just grows. Like a germ coming into the womb of a woman with the egg that cells or keep on adding on there. And then when the little egg begins to develop and begins to bring forth germs, it don't put one human germ and then a dog germ and then a cow germ. It puts all human germs. Now he's just going right along and showing how that as God adds to you, he's not going to let you take something that's wrong. You're not going to believe something that's wrong, because when you take something, it becomes a part of you. And as you're growing here, it's all human cells, human cells, human cells. You're not going to take one thing that's wrong. There's no way in that body for you to make a dog cell or some other kind of cell. When the Holy Spirit is in you, it's going to add every cell right and build out that body. When that predestinated seed that you was to be, and God called you, and that little eagle of a seed in there heard that word of God, it will build on top, one word on top, and another word, and on top of another one, one atop the other one. It'll not mix with any creed. It's programmed not to. Notice, in the gates every day, and this is what I was talking about, the leavened bread. Y'all notice I've pretty much hit all the things that I was talking about at the beginning. We're coming down here to the close. Every day they should eat new kosher, and there would be no leaven found among them through the 7 days. Is that right? So nothing added to what God had given them. Is that right? The 7 church ages, then no unleavened, no creed, no nothing added. It has to be absolutely unleavened bread. No leaven shall be found among you at all in none of those church ages. Just the leaven, the word itself, that's the only. And the word is God. And God was made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, which is the gate. There is the gate I meet you in to worship when you follow the commandments of God. Therefore, if you tonight just come and say, I offer Jesus Christ my life, and you've never received the Holy Ghost, come into it. You must do it. You must grow into it. Ask God to pile word on top of word like that, until you become that full stature of the Son of God or the daughter of God, taking the things of the world. He's asking you a question. First John says, if you love the world or the things of the world, it's because the love of God is not even in you. And what did we talk about the love of God doing before? It brings faith. And if you have doubt, Brother Bram, what did Brother Bram say? He said it's unbelief. When you go out here and sin, it's unbelief, which is doubt. And he says, it's because the love of God is not even in you. It's so simple. And people try to mix it all up and make a mess out of it. See, you've been deceived. You got the love of the world there. It's deceived you. Remember we talked about wisdom and faith and those two lives you'll draw from? Got the love of the world there and it's deceived you. The devil has, by piling things to there and showing, see? God, able to prepare us and give us that crave in our life that we want to see something. Brother Graham is saying, he's talking about that craving now. How many in here wants more of God? Now listen to what he says when they said yes. Well, it goes to show there's more for you. Because he created that craving in you. That's the Holy Spirit. There has to be something to meet that craving. Why? It goes to show that there's more for you. See, you're craving it. Your little birth pains are coming on. See, you need more so that we can be happy and free and perfect. We got to be. That scripture right there is just so good. I love that quote. Talking about that craving. I mean, everybody has cravings, you know. And we have a little idea of what it's like for wanting and craving this food or craving that food or something. But we've also, if you've been born again, you know what it's like to crave Christ. And to crave to not be the person you was born into this world. And to be the one that God thought of you eternally. That one. And then to finally come to that. It's a wonderful. Don't stop, brother and sister, till you get there. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. We're going to close with this right here. There once, and I almost didn't put this one in here, but I saw it and I just could not put it in here. Where once partly Moses had him. You hear that? Partly Moses had him. Partly David had him. Oh my, but here he is, manifested in his fullness, deity himself standing on the earth. He's talking about Jesus. God in his fullness, God in his fullness, to die for the sin of the people, that he might bring the church a sanctified life, that he might have the preeminence in fullness in his church. How many times have we read that? And how much does it mean to us that we just go day after day and don't look in on it? Don't go ask God, bring me close to that, Lord. Bring that, make that real to me. In his church, to manifest every promise in these last days that he promised for the last days. See, that's what he's doing. He died so that he could have that preeminence and fullness in his church, so he can manifest all the promises for the last days. Listen now. Now just paint yourself a little now. See? What was Jesus manifested for? Why was he manifested? To show God.
Amen.
Now you think you're going to be one with Jesus. Like God. You're one with God like Jesus was one with God. What was Jesus manifested for? To show God. He was God. He had to be. No man could die. No prophet could die. But Brother Branham said he couldn't send his son to die. He had to come. Brother Branham said, I couldn't send Billy Paul to do something that I said I was going to pay for. Wouldn't be right, would it? He was God. He was God of the prophets. He was the prophets. He was the kings. He was the history. He was He that has to come, he that was, and he that is, and he that's to be in this day, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was manifested for that purpose. Manifested for the what purpose? To be God, to show God. So if he's going to manifest himself in that fullness every time, that's his purpose, every time to show himself. And through that purpose, he achieved a church that he, the fullness of God, might bring to pass every promise of God in these last days. Through Christ, he achieved a church where he gets preeminence in the church, the position, his place in the church. See where you recognize your position? Your position is to get in line with the Word. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also, even more than this shall he do, for I go to my Father. See, that was his purpose. That was the manifestation. And now today he wants to get somebody that can see it, that they can let the Word. See, Jesus so seen it, so was so perfectly born for that day until God expressed every move that he made. He was God's revelation, God revealed.
Amen.
Now, I can't think of, like I said, anything better than to be today receiving that promise that we can be one with God as Jesus was one with God. That, to me, is the greatest promise there's ever been. You can have all the healings you want. You can have all the financial stuff took care of you want. You can have all the whatever you want, but that, you just give me that. I don't care about nothing else. That's it. You give me that.